Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. He talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying wait a minute.
Welcome to Technoy Live. I'm your host Scott Catoon. We're here at WGN talking with Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs. Joining me right now, Olivia Kniep, CEO of Chart Air. Welcome to the show. I want to start off by getting a little bit more into what Chart Air is. I think it's interesting. I've talked to several people who are now working in this sort of disruption of the air, you know, the airplane model, the air everything model. Give us a rundown right off the top of like what Chart Air is.
Chart Air is a digital platform that increases transparency in aviation as it regards to fees. So right now, people that are planning a private flight can make a phone call or send a fax to figure out how much they're going to pay when they get to the airport to, you know, hangar their plane or just to land even. And that doesn't need to exist anymore. Just doesn't. So we have created a database that has all those fees instantly accessible so they can compare and make the trip that's best for them.
So walk me through sort of the problem a little bit, because I think in case people, unless you're a pilot or you understand this sort of world, what is the current, like, what does a normal pilot go through? Like, what is a normal, I assume this, we're not talking about people just traveling in a big plane. We're talking about smaller planes and smaller airports.
Exactly. So that, what we typically say is planes under 10 passengers.
Okay.
Sometimes that means it's a pilot who owns a plane and flies for sport. And sometimes it means a business aviation or someone who hires a charter flight. In the case of a charter flight, there's a person who sits at a desk and will plan their flight for them and will probably look for the most cost-efficient route. Or maybe they're looking for a route that's most time-efficient, one of the two. So what they have to do right now is call up another airport and ask, what are your fees? How much is it going to cost me? In order to get a full comprehensive cost breakdown that they can then pass on to the customer. And then if they want to compare different airports because they don't have a particular one that they want to land at, they have to make that call over and over and over again in order to figure out how much they're simply going to have to pay. So what we're doing is allowing them to just search instantly online and figure out the different prices for services and different locations that would work best for them.
Cool. So tell me, how did you get into this? Because I feel like this has to be like the either a pilot yourself or the daughter of a pilot. There's got to be something here, because I, like, my dad was a pilot, and so I didn't go with him nearly as much as he wanted me to, but I would go to like, he was at DuPage Airport or Schaumburg Airport before that, and so we would be, you know, hanging out with these people, and the pilots are like they're a strange crew. Like, they're so tight. They're so, like, they have the Cougar Aviation Group has their meetings and they do all their stuff. And so I feel like if you're not part of that world, like, you're not even there. Like, I'm friends with one of the guys from the bunker, which is a Fly Auto.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And so we have Rod on all the time. And I always joke with him, like, you either are in the know or you don't know. So how did you get into this?
One of our co-founders worked at an airport, and so his coworker was the one who I was just referring to, who has to make all those phone calls over and over again. And it's funny you mentioned Rod. When we were working on this in the very beginning, we called him up and said...
And he was happy to take that call.
Super happy, yeah.
Dude would love to talk.
Yeah, talk about aviation with some people that are interested, of course.
Shit, he'll take you on an airplane. Like, just be done with it. He'll take you up there and fly and talk about it all day long.
Yeah. So we told him what we were working on and how we thought, we just wanted to hear what he had to say about it. And he's like, great, I'd love to have that in my system.
Yeah.
So then we can make him more efficient. We can make pilots on their own more efficient, and then charter operations. Yeah.
I mean, and I do think, like, that's the model for airlines. I know that right now we talk about disruption. The travel model. United and I guess Southwest to a lesser extent, but United, American, Delta, all these, they're going to get disrupted to the point of no return, I think, at some point here, because it's just the charging you for every little thing that comes down. People are just like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And then you look at the gas mileage and lowering the cost, which is the biggest thing. So now there's a startup that just raised a bunch of money trying to bring electric to planes. So it would be shorter routes, have electric plane, doesn't cost as much money. Therefore, they can start making their money instead of charging me for fees for putting my bag in, you know, wherever beneath my legs or whatever. So I think there's a lot of disruption there. But I think where the most disruption is going to take place first is in this space. I think that Rod is onto something with FlyAuto, where all of these commercial pilots essentially Uber for air.
Exactly.
And if you're going to do Uber for air, there's a lot of tidying up that needs to be done.
Yeah, certainly.
And that's where you guys come in with this. So in general, Where did this company get started? Tell me the story, how you decided to take on disrupting the monotony and the problems within small air.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. There are a lot of the people we call up and ask are still using sticky notes and stuff to figure it out. So we're, you know, making it
the flight clipboard
more.
Is still on the knee. That's still a thing. I don't know if anyone is not aware of the pilot thing. Like, you'd think it'd be like super high tech, and like most of these planes these guys fly are like 1975 Cessnas, and they have their like little hard rock writing board on their knee and stuff. It's not high. It's not as high tech as you would think.
Yeah, that's true. And then it's changing a bit with iPads and things like that. So the clipboard is switching to an iPad
slowly.
Yeah,
slowly. Right. Which I was like, I knew a guy who also flies. He does it for himself, but he also flies people around a lot. And he was like, it's like, yeah, man, we get in some of these planes, it's like the Wright brothers. Like, it's just unbelievable. So sorry, I set you off the wrong pace. How you got to this
how
point?
How we got started. We were a college project. There was a startup term at Knox, and we had an idea that was really solving a problem that needed to be addressed. And so we were talking to a couple people about how we should best continue this once we graduate, because it's only a 10-week program.
Sure.
And Bob Gillespie from the Elmsmere Accelerator came down to, he's an alum and was going to offer some advice to all the companies in the accelerator or in the incubator at Knox. And he started asking his questions about ours and wanted to know more and more. And by the end of his visit, he said, you should definitely apply to our accelerator. We want to hear more about this. And so we applied and didn't expect anything to come of it, but we obviously
here
got
you
in
are.
And yeah, it's been running for about 6 or 7 months now.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I love stories like this. And we've worked with a lot of universities from DePaul, Marquette, Northwestern, University of Chicago, Polsky Center. I'm missing other companies that we or other schools that we've worked with, Purdue, to help sort of with this innovation cycle and helping with companies that college kids can start. And the one thing that I've noticed is, and I don't know if it's because the teachers and professors and people that usually are running these haven't been entrepreneurs themselves, or if they were, it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. The companies that are being birthed are sort of like the best of the last ideas and not a problem solver. So it's like, it's really exciting to me to see something that like someone was like, that's a problem. I can solve it. Don't care about the resources. Let's go to work. With that said, you don't have to name names. What was the dumbest idea that that came out of like this class? There had to be one where it was like, you guys went drinking and clearly didn't give a shit about this project. Like, what was that? What was that project?
Oh, man. When we first got started, I was saying that I wanted to have something that solved a real problem. And obviously we achieved that. But in the process of getting there, we came up with some not so productive
ideas. So you're going to put yourself on the line. You're going to give out the idea that you guys put up.
We had one where we were going to create recycled dollhouses for a bit. See how that went? It did not materialize.
Literally.
Yeah. Huh. There was another group, though, that wanted to do food delivery on campus, which...
Not
a bad idea, actually, especially during finals and things. But
there's several businesses doing that. Yeah, there's several businesses doing it. There was one actually invested on Shark Tank that had a Lunchables like that basically
for college students.
Yeah, they basically set up like an errand boy. So like any person throughout the campus, because the biggest problem with delivery, as you know, is like the campus is a secure building. So like I can't go in like 90% of the campus buildings to drop stuff off.
Right.
So what they ended up doing is that they basically deployed all of the different people from throughout the campus, the actual like students, and said, you are on from this to this, this. So like people will go on a platform and say, can you get me, you know, I don't know, Excedrin or something because I drank way too much last night. Can you get me this? And they have the ability to go to the local campus shop and go in and out of the campus. I don't know where it's gone. I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but it was a legitimate thing, I guess is my point.
Yeah, and I think that could be really helpful, actually.
Right? See, that's...
Depending on how big your building is.
We got to go with the name on this. Are we going to call it the Campus Air? Like, how do you chart Air 2? Like, let's chart her. No, this is great. So then before we head out of here, give me sort of what I could look for. You're a new company. You're young. Mm-hmm. You're rolling now. You've kind of, you're out in the real world now. What do you expect to see in 2018 from Chart Air?
Let's see. In 2018, we are looking to gather data for the remainder of the U.S. Right now, we have over 20 states gathered, which is something that has never happened before. And the way we're doing it right now is the only way that you can gather this information is by picking up the phone and calling. So 2018, we will have gathered all the information and we'll have a public beta open. Right now we have a closed beta with some users always looking for more. And then
calling all flyboys.
Exactly. And then we're going to start talking to larger companies to create more of an API that they can plug into their system. So those Uber for Jets that need this information.
Well, we've got some good relationships with GoGo Air and a few others that are all tied up with some of these big companies. So if you ever need anything, please give us a ring. I'd love to help you out.
Fantastic.
Do where do people go to learn more about this?
Chartair.us.
Chartair.us. Sounds great. Thank you so much, Olivia. You can catch this episode of more at technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and of course, stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.